In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. One of my favorite spiritual expressions is a simple one. All should be well. All should be well. All manner of things shall be well. I find its simplicity to be soothing, reassuring, and useful as a mantra. The author of this theological snippet was Julian of Norwich, born in 1342 and died in 1416. She was known as what was called an anchoress, meaning she set herself apart for God, lived in isolation in a cell, wrote profound and numerous reflections about her spiritual insights concerning the divine, all the while unconditionally devoting herself to religious life. Her prayerful observation, all should be well, all should be well, all manner of things shall be well, was perhaps her most notable legacy, a perspective which offers to us in the 21st century a theological foundation for this Lenten season. For the past couple of weeks, the clergy and staff have been in dialogue, wondering about providing the parish a theme for Lent, a communal topic to stimulate conversation and dialogue. A variety of suggestions were proposed, but we as a group kept being drawn to the idea of wellness, of wholeness. We were careful in our discussion to be mindful that the topic of wellness, of wholeness, be interpreted broadly and not to limit it to physical health. What does it mean to be well, to be whole in mind, body, and spirit? David pointed out that the concept of being made well is deeply rooted in the teaching of Jesus. A high priority of Jesus' ministry was healing of the mind, body, and spirit. The stories of his efforts amongst the people are numerous and compelling. And once again, as David reminded us, Jesus focused his healing, identifying on specific issues of the unhealthy aspects of mind, body, and spirit. He didn't condemn the person. He condemned the specific issue. As an example, in the recent story of Jesus' encounter with the man with the unclean spirit, Jesus calls out the unclean spirit, but does not stigmatize the individual. This man was, as we are, a respected and beloved child of God, regardless of the challenges of his mind, body, and spirit. How then might we consider individually and as a congregation to begin this Lenten journey into wholeness and well-being? Well, I have three thoughts on this first Sunday of Lent. The first, make your bed every morning. You heard me. Make your bed every morning. And if you were where I am and see the couples kind of now nudging one another. Now, this is not my idea. As a matter of fact, it was a part of a commencement speech by Navy SEAL Admiral William McGraven, delivered to the class of 2014 at the University of Texas. In it, he said, If you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. It will give you a sense of pride, and it will encourage you to do another task, and another, and another. By the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed, and it will reinforce the fact that the little things in life matter. And if by chance you have a miserable day, he said, you will come home to a bed that is made, that you made, and a bed made gives you encouragement that tomorrow will be better. So first, during Lent, make your bed every day. That simple act will contribute to your well-being. Second thought, and on a different level, recognize your value. Recognize your value. Madison Taylor, a spiritual writer, invites us into dialogue with ourselves to identify why our life matters. She says, it can be easy to sometimes buy into the illusion of our own insignificance. We may see institutions or successful people in our community and compare ourselves to them, thinking that their fame or material power affirms how little our lives amount to. But nothing is further from the truth. Our very existence affects countless people in countless ways. She concludes, when you gain awareness of how much your life really does matter, new sources of energy can emerge, and your sense of connection with the world is renewed. So the second idea for Lent is to recognize and affirm the value you are to yourself and to others. Yet another way to subsidize your effort towards wellness. And third, consider how Redeemer herself is a resource for our health and well-being. Are you using the church? For instance, there is the sacred space for grace that is lay-led, and it's a support group for those experiencing loss three times a year, fall, winter, and spring. It has been ongoing for 5 years. Then there is our Prayer Shawl ministry that creates items that are blessed and given to those in need for added comfort. Literally hundreds of knitted pieces have been distributed over the years to either members of the parish or to GBMC. More recently, the newly formed St. Luke lay ministers offer the laying on of hands for healing on the first Sunday of every month. And let's not forget the variety of prayer groups that routinely pray for those on our prayer list. All of these ministries are following the gospel for wellness. And now, the most recent parish initiative comes when it comes to wholeness of mind, body, and spirit is centered upon mental health. Beginning last month with a well-attended adult forum discussion about mental health issues, and then to an even larger follow-up meeting last Saturday morning, we are finding keen interest in exploring opportunities to be both educated in and supported by a broad range of issues, including depression, anxiety, bipolar, schizophrenia, addiction, dementia, eating disorders, caregiving, as well as other topics. And let me be clear, the expressed need is not just for adults, but our young people as well. Currently, I'm networking with local school counselors to share resources with our Sunday school leaders, as well as the Redeemer Day School. This is a church-wide initiative. Tomorrow, I will begin offering a mental health first aid course to the parish, an 8-hour workshop divided over 2 days that educates the participants on a variety of mental health issues. We have planned 4 of these workshops through the middle of April, which will mean that 45 members of the parish will have been trained. Look for sign-up opportunities on eRedeemer or email me directly. In addition, shortly there will be a table in the lobby specifically dedicated to mental health resources that may be of interest for all ages. We are also considering a variety of speakers that will bring insight and education. Our primary goal is to bring the topic of mental health into an open and comfortable conversation. Let me say that again. Our primary goal is to bring the topic of mental health into open and comfortable conversation. Hence, our tagline for this initiative is Mental Health, Let's Talk About It. The initial email list of individuals that have a particular interest in the subject was at 40. It has now grown to over 70. Please email me if you want to be part of that group. So let me go back to where I began with Julian of Norwich. Her reliance on all should be well, all should be well, all manner of things shall be well, was embedded with her theological understanding that any challenges before us are a gift, because ultimately those challenges bring faithful people closer to God. And whatever brings us closer to God, she concluded, meant all should be well, all should be well. Such a simple proposition. Seems a fitting intersection as we begin this Lenten journey to wellness. We do so acknowledging our challenges are indeed a chance to be closer to God, to invite Him to be on our companion on our road to wholeness. So make your bed every morning. Affirm your value as a human being, and be a part of Redeemer's invitation for healing of the mind, body, and spirit. And trust, all should be well. All should be well. All manner of things shall be well. Amen.